Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you on this Friday, the 8th of July. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Amnesty International paints a bleak picture of South Sudan 5 years after independence.
There is a lot that should not be celebrated. 5 years of independence has been a rocky and challenging in terms of how civilians are treated in the country.
And with an African Union summit due this weekend, we hear criticism of those countries wanting to pull out of the International Criminal Court.
When you assess the reasons why they want to leave the ICC, out of selfish interest.
Also on the programme, what some African football fans are making of Germany's 2-0 defeat in the semi-final of the European Championships.
That Germany should be defeated by France, I feel terribly disappointed.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
South Sudan marks 5 years of independence tomorrow, but official celebrations have been cancelled because the country can't afford them. Some might argue there is little to celebrate anyway. The peace deal is stalling, the violence is ongoing, and food shortages are worse than they've ever been. From the capital Juba, Waki Simon Wudu reports.
Since South Sudan's transitional government of national unity was established in April this year as part of the implementation of the peace agreement, hopes among many South Sudanese for quick economic reforms were high. However, little has changed since the conflict between President Salva Kiir and now First Vice President Riek Machar's forces was officially ended just over 2 months ago. Prices of basic commodities have remained high. For example, a kilogram of sugar costs as much as 30 South Sudanese pounds, a 50-kilogram bag of white flour still costs 1,200 South Sudanese pounds, and for a bar of soap, 25 South Sudanese pounds have to be handed over. These prices are the same as when the transitional government of national unity was not yet formed and Machar was still in the booth. The exchange rate of 3,500 South Sudanese pounds for 100 US dollars has increased to 4,900 South Sudanese pounds. South Sudanese citizens have mixed reactions over the cancellation of the independence celebrations. Michael Atit, a South Sudanese youth, disagrees with the decision.
The postponement of the celebration is really an embarrassment moment for us as a new country. We just had like the third celebration, and now coming to the fourth or the fifth, there is no money to celebrate. Not only the postponement of the celebration, but even the kind of stories that we hear about South Sudan conflict, the kind of economical situation that our country is undergoing, it's too embarrassing. And it doesn't give us like a good image outside the world.
Bidali Aligo Samson, a civil society activist, says the money for independence celebrations should be used to pay civil servants' salaries. They have gone for 4 months now without being paid.
This is very important. And secondly, also the issue of education. Teachers need a lot of things, and even the students, they need uniform. This budget must be addressed properly. We don't care about using huge money for celebration of one day.
Many people here are skeptical as to whether the heart-biting economic situation can be brought under control soon, and many are apprehensive about the future. Another young man who preferred to remain anonymous had this to say.
We need not to talk about what really they wanted to do, or maybe what they are saying right now. But we are waiting for real they will do it or they will not do it. Because it is not for the first time that many times people are talking about the situation in South Sudan. People are committed. Like if you see the peace agreement, everybody said there is a peace agreement, and people are waiting that all the sufferings of South Sudan, even the economic crisis, will be taken away. But still, the conditions remains the same. And now, if the economic condition or situation is worsening, why? Because people are not committed. People are not trusting each other.
South Sudan seceded from Sudan and gained its independence in 2011 after fighting the Sudanese government for over two decades.
Wahi Simon Wudu in Juba. The big disappointment is that independence did not bring lasting peace. Since the start of the civil war in newly independent South Sudan, tens of thousands have been killed. Nobody knows the exact number. And more than 2 million have been displaced. Daniel Pelst asked Nayagul Tut from the rights group Amnesty International whether there really was anything to celebrate when South Sudan marks independence tomorrow.
I mean, the very fact that South Sudan is an independent country, we cannot rule out that there might be a lot to celebrate in the country. But from a human rights and humanitarian perspective, there is a lot that should not be celebrated. 5 years of independence has been a rocky and challenging in terms of how civilians are treated in the country, how the promotion and respect of human rights. Certainly the December 2013 conflict has contributed to a dire human rights and humanitarian situation.
Who are the main perpetrators, the government or the rebels?
None of the parties involved in the 2013 conflict can claim innocence. We have documented atrocities committed by both sides. We've documented mass killings, looting of civilian property, destruction of civilian property, the abduction of women and girls, widespread sexual and gender-based violence, and lawful killings by both sides to the conflict and other forces that are affiliated to either side.
Is there anything that the international community could do in terms of stepping up the pressure on both sides to respect human rights?
There is a lot that needs to be done. I mean, currently, with the implementation of the peace agreements, both parties seem farther and farther away from coming together and making decisions in the interest of the country, in the interest of, you know, South Sudanese themselves. Because even as a cabinet has been formed and the vice president and the president and his second vice president are in office, there are still incidences of violence all across the country. And so there's a lot that needs to be done to ensure concerted pressure towards both parties and to also support the implementation of the peace agreement. And also that the international community needs to take strong steps towards ensuring that accountability for the crimes that have been committed in this conflict is actually realized.
And what, in practical terms, would you want the international community to do?
I mean, the African Union Commission has been mandated by the peace agreement with the establishment of a hybrid court. And also the peace agreement contains the establishment of various bodies and various mechanisms, including a reparations authority, including structures around a permanent constitution-making process. And all these bodies need support. So the international community needs to be supporting all these bodies and actually emphasizing upon both parties and emphasizing upon the African Union that urgent steps need to be taken to set up these bodies as a means of reminding parties and their forces that they will be held accountable for the atrocities committed in the conflict.
Do you see any positive developments, maybe at a local level from civil society or other groups to improve the human rights situation?
One thing that comes across in this conflict is the strength and resilience of communities. South Sudan has endured decades of conflict since the liberation struggle and even during independence, the CPA, and various rebellions along the way. And till today, we see a lot of efforts from the communal level, efforts contributing towards trauma healing, support, giving support to each other during these traumatic incidences. We've also seen a lot of demand for accountability from communities. And so there are efforts by civil society groups to document what has taken place during the conflict.
Nayago Atut from Amnesty International talking to Daniel Peltz.
Africa Link. Every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Central African Republic President Faustin Archange Touadéra marks his first 100 days in office tomorrow. Touadéra was installed on the 9th of March this year, and his main goal was to foster unity and reconciliation in a country marred by sectarian violence, pitting Christians against Muslims. Although he has been able to achieve political stability in the capital Bangui, his country still faces many challenges. This report by Teresa Krininger is read now by Jane Ayeko.
Before President Touadéra was sworn in on March 9th, Central African Republic was synonymous with violence. Reports of killings and rampant kidnappings featured prominently in media outlets. But since taking the oath of office, there has been largely semblance of peace in the capital, Bangui, and other parts of the country. Thierry Vicolon, an expert on Central Africa at the Institute of International Affairs in Paris, describes the situation in the country.
Basically, the north, east and the east of the country.
Basically, the northeast and east of the country is not in government control. The center of the country is also under the control of armed groups. And this morning, there was also infighting between armed groups in Bombali and in the west and north part of the country. The conflict is rife.
The fighting in Bambari this week came as the UN warns of a possible upsurge of violence in a country where thousands died and 1 in 10 people were displaced in a 3-year spiral of communal violence. In the northwest and west parts of the country, armed groups continue to prowl the area. Vicolon further says that Touadéra's government still has a long way to go if it's to deal with the insecurity in the country decisively.
When you have an elected government that has no capacity to solve the problem of the army and basic services of the people, we should not be surprised by the fact that the government is in difficulty.
Since the crisis began, the number of refugees has risen to nearly 500,000. This is according to the estimates by the UN Refugee Agency. Many Central Africans live in camps within the country or have fled to the neighboring countries like Chad and Cameroon. Despite the refugee crisis, Touadéra has also ensured reconciliation between Christians and Muslims in the country. To exemplify this, he was seen celebrating the end of Ramadan with Muslims in Bangui. In the markets, there is coexistence between Muslims and Christians. They sit and chat away together as they wait for customers. The government spokesperson, Albert Mokpemen, told DW that the country is slowly normalizing.
The country returned to normal and the Central African democracy is slowly being consolidated. Touadéra has formed his government and the National Assembly elected its chairman.
In order to preserve peace, the country has to depend on security provided by the 12,000 UN peacekeepers. Touadéra's remaining challenge is to ensure that a national army that can take over the security mantle once the blue helmets leave the country is created. Vicolon further explains.
It goes without saying that there is need for a national army in Central African Republic, especially as the UN peacekeepers are not able to improve the security situation in the country. But at the same time, there is no agreement between the government and the international community about what this army should be.
Without a functioning army and many weapons in circulation, often in the wrong hands, the situation will remain fragile in the Central African Republic.
And that report was written by Teresa Krininger.
Human rights.
A group of rights activists from across Africa is trying to drum up support for the International Criminal Court. This comes ahead of an African Union summit meeting at the weekend. A number of African Union countries, such as Kenya, want to leave the ICC. They have also been calling for immunity from prosecution for sitting heads of state. With more on this story, here's Wanjiku Maura.
As the African Union summit kicks off this weekend in the Rwandan capital, Kigali, activists from across Africa have launched a campaign to pressurize the African Union member states to change their stance on withdrawing from the ICC. The activists say the ICC cannot intervene in any country that shows willingness and is able to deal with havoc caused. Ibrahim Tony, a human rights activist and executive director for Center for Accountability and Rule of Law in Freetown in Sierra Leone, says the African leaders should support the court.
Before the ICC prosecutor, the former prosecutor intervened, the Kenyan government had a chance to deal with the crimes at the court during the post-election violence. They couldn't do it.
During the previous African Union summit, the Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta stated that the ICC was pursuing weak politicized cases. He said that it has become a huge distraction from serving people fully. He called for unity in withdrawing from the ICC.
Together, we can make a powerful statement that reflects our refusal to be carried along in a vehicle that has strayed off course to the detriment of our sovereignty, security, and dignity as Africans.
Some African leaders have stated that the ICC is targeting African countries, and that is one of the reasons as to why they want to leave. But Timothy Mtambo, a human rights activist in Malawi, says the AU does not have a genuine reason to quit the court.
When you assess the reasons why they want to leave the ICC, out of selfish interests by our leaders, the ICC, it advocates for complementarity, the strengthening of the local jurisdictions. Most of the Africans, they have not yet domesticated the Rome Statute so that the countries are able to handle crimes of high nature at country level.
In 2015, the AU adopted a protocol that would give the Continental Court authority to prosecute grave crimes. But this proposal has a contentious element that grants immunity for sitting heads of state and other senior government officials. This is a big problem, as Mtambo says.
They want to create Africa as a safe haven where people will do anything and they will not be held accountable because they are in leadership.
The heads of state prepare to meet next week, and these activists hope they will do away with this clause. Tommy says conflicts in Africa arise from bad governance and social economic issues.
Until these issues are addressed, we will continue to have conflicts and we will continue to have disagreements between the ICC and the AU.
In the video released this week, the activists say they are not against the establishment of an African court, but they are demanding that leaders should be held to account.
Wanjuku Mwaura. Football next, and there are plenty of long faces here in Germany this morning after the country crashed out of the semi-finals of Euro 2016, losing 2-0 to France. The two goals, both scored by Antoine Griezmann, have propelled France into the final against Portugal on Sunday. Germany coach Joachim Löw isn't the only one licking his wounds. Germany has a huge number of fans in the African nation of Cameroon. And I asked our correspondent in Yaoundé, Maki Kinseka, how big a disappointment the defeat was for the Cameroonian fans.
Mark, just one word to describe the atmosphere at Mannschaft Haus, a popular spot with supporters of the German national team gathering every evening to watch the matches since they started. The atmosphere there was morose. And there's just one word to describe how die-hard supporters felt. They were disappointed. Just listen to Gemda Rogers, who is a supporter of the German national selection and president of supporters of the German national team in Yaoundé.
I'm very, very disappointed. I'm terribly depressed with this defeat because I know that Germany is a very, very robust team and that Germany should be defeated by France. I feel terribly disappointed. I know that Germany has some of the best players in the world, like goalkeeper Noel, defender Jerome Boateng, attackers like Thomas Müller, Mario Götze. We counted on them. I counted on them. But I can't understand what happened today.
The other thing, Mark, is that there was some sort of cautious optimism before the match from some of the supporters of the German side. They said they had watched France rejuvenate its team, and at the same time, Germany was still using old players, so they were cautiously optimistic before the match. Those other supporters did not feel that much disappointed as the first ones.
I still very much trust them in spite of that defeat to France.
There are a number of players of African descent in the French team. Isn't that reason enough for Cameroonians to support the French?
That has been a debate out here. Many people in Cameroon refer to the French national team as a selection of players from the rest of the world, from the different countries of the world. Such hold that the French national team is not really France, and they are instead feeling that playing against France means you'll be defeated because they're selecting the best from the world. But others here still support the French national team. So it is a really mixed reaction. They don't get to support France because France is really staging a good show, but because some say France collects players from the other parts of the world to play with them. So those who feel that way are disappointed. But there are few, however, who still stand behind the French national team, who still support them.
Marky Kenseka.
Your say.
Time to hear what you have to say about the stories we've been covering this week. Abubakar Jolo and Neka Luke are here with this week's Your Say.
We kickstart this week's Your Say in Zimbabwe, where the capital Harare was thrown into a ghost town on Wednesday as residents responded to a call by hashtag This Black Citizens Movement.
Striking civil servants are yet to receive their salaries for June due to harsh economic times. Activities in Zimbabwe's main cities of Harare and Bulawayo virtually came to a standstill on Wednesday as most people stayed at home.
And to that, Robert Nevis says, with an 80% unemployment rate, I'm surprised anyone noticed, given these are civil servants that have stood by or even helped the country on a massive decline, and yet they are apparently the last ones to suffer. I find sympathy hard now.
Ndini Shafiu said, first of all, let's demand the immediate release of those arrested. Failure to do so will then lead to another shutdown for a week.
Some interesting remarks there, but let's move on. Now, has Tanzania's president taken it too far?
That's an article by African Liz Crispin Makideo, which looked at people's reactions on Magufuli's style of governance.
Crispin wrote, Tanzania's president John Pombe Magufuli, popularly known as the Bulldozer, has been lauded for tackling corruption head-on. His passion and zeal to end wasteful government spending, curb corruption and improve public service delivery has endeared him to not only low-income Tanzanians, but also to many others in the region.
And Robert Nave said, anyone so determined to stop waste and corruption is going to make some enemies and they will try to smear him. At the same time, the people need to ensure he doesn't become a dictator. Hopefully, they can keep information flowing and he can keep calming down on waste.
And Alois Charles wrote, he is a good president, I like him. I am Tanzanian and I live here in Tanzania. People need presidents like John Pombe Joseph Magufuli. And that's all we had time for on this week's Your Say.
And this week's Your Say was presented by Abubakar Jolo and Neka Luke. And if you'd like to contribute to Your Say, then do send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com and SMS to country code 49160957595510 or a letter to Africa Link, DW53110, Bonn, Germany. Some news coming in. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in South Africa today on the latest stop of a four-nation Africa tour to raise his country's economic profile on the continent. Modi is expected to meet President Jacob Zuma on Friday and meet with members of South Africa's community of Indian origin, which numbers more than 1 million people. In other news, Amnesty International says the human rights situation in South Sudan remains grim 5 years after the country gained independence. activists have been calling for more support for the International Criminal Court ahead of the African Union summit in Kigali this Sunday. And we've also been hearing what Germany fans in Cameroon have been making of that 2-0 defeat by France. There we come to the end of another week here on Africa Link. Aboubakar Diallo will be here on Monday. Have a pleasant weekend. Until the next time, this is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.